The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Before I start my show today, I want to do a shout out to what's going on today that is a really cool event and very important. There's going to be a COVID-19 public forum, and it is not political. It is educational in nature. It is not about being adversarial or doing anything like that. It's about a whole bunch of medical professionals coming together to give you really good information on COVID-19, on vaccines, on natural immunity, and answer questions for the public. It's called the COVID-19 Public Forum, and you can access it online by going to COVID-19publicforum.com. And you can read all about it and you can see what's going on. It's going to be, if you'd like to show up, it's from 2 to 4 this afternoon. It's free. There will be social distancing seating available if you want to sit like that. There will be a separate isolated section where you can sit social distance. You're welcome to wear a mask or not wear a mask. If you want to be isolated wearing a mask, there's room in this huge auditorium for that to happen. So we're trying to let everybody feel safe and comfortable and to do what makes you feel like you're doing what's right for yourself. Anyway, it's going to be at 777 Loma Vista Drive in Redding. That's off Bocelli Lane. It's about a mile north of South Bonneview. It's several blocks north of Riverview Country Club. You turn east on Loma Vista, and it's off there on the right. So 777 Loma Vista Drive, Redding, California, and it's from 2 to 4 p.m. this afternoon, Saturday, January 22nd, and you can also live stream it on the Facebook site, and you can go to COVID-19publicforum.com to connect up with the live stream and all of that. So join us and be sure to ask any questions that you have, and let's get everybody on the same page and bring our community together. Our goal with all of us medical professionals that are going together to do this is to stop the derision and the divisiveness in our community and to bring people together with solid medical information. It is not political, you guys. We're not asking for adversarial stuff. We just want people to ask good questions, and we want really experienced doctors to give you information. In fact, the whole team of doctors and medical professionals that are going, there are over 600 years of experience that are going to be in that room today answering your questions. So join us 2 to 4 p.m. today, 777 Loma Vista Drive, for the COVID-19 Public Forum. Okay, well, this is Dr. Patty, and I'm going to be doing my show today on something that I've been seeing a ton of in my private practice. It's on isolation. And isolation is the best word I can think of this, but it's a variety of symptoms that are happening with people. And almost every single person that comes in is talking about some form of this in their lives. So people already dealing with depression and anxiety and marital issues and disciplinary issues with kids and family stress and divorce and all this stuff, on top of those normal lifetime issues that everybody deals with, they're also dealing with the isolation that has happened over the last almost 2 years now. It is 2 years of the pandemic and the COVID-19 issues. So the reason I want to talk about isolation is because if you're feeling isolated and alone and you're getting more and more depressed and more anxious, I want this show to speak to you, because by the end of the show, I want to give you some signs and symptoms that you need to watch for, so that if you need to reach out for help from your medical professional or to get into some therapy, I want you to be armed with what you need to do for yourself or for your children or for your marriage or for your job. So I want to give you some basic information today that I find myself repeating over and over again to clients all week long. So let's talk about exactly what I mean by isolation. I'm finding that people are feeling more and more alone, and that's the word I hear a lot. I'm very alone, or I feel very isolated from my friends and family. For example, it's not unusual for older people to have really hunkered down in their houses. They don't really want to go out. They're fearful of getting COVID, and the elderly people are a more vulnerable population, so it scares them. And they find themselves isolating. I have one friend who is, she's probably mid-70s, and she is a public dynamo. She has done a ton of community service. She's a beautiful individual. And she didn't go anywhere for almost a year because she is alone. She's not married. She doesn't have a whole lot of family available to her locally that could take care of her if she got sick. And so she hunkered down and isolated. And that took its toll on her emotionally. So I'm not talking politically, everyone. I'm not saying if you should be isolated or you should be, or whether you should be COVID afraid or not. It's not about that. It's about that this pandemic has created a difference in how people live their lives and how they find themselves dealing with themselves, their work, their families, with school. And whether your isolation feels forced or voluntary, it is affecting people's lives. So the things I'm seeing from isolation is people talking about being very, very alone, and that aloneness is leading to depression. There's a lot of anxiety if they go out. There's the mask up or don't mask up. If I mask up, what does that mean? If I don't wear a mask, what will happen? They maybe used to enjoy going out to a restaurant every now and again, and they're not doing that. They used to even enjoy walking around Costco or going to the grocery store, and they haven't been doing that as well. Many people aren't going to restaurants at all. They aren't grocery shopping. Everything is being delivered to their door. All the delivery places, whether it's Costco delivery or Walmart delivery or Amazon.com, have made billions of dollars during this pandemic. But it also has helped facilitate and create isolation of people in their homes. Now, is that a good thing? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's kept some people from getting sick. But my point as a psychologist here is the isolation and the aloneness has created a whole lot of emotional issues. And that's what I really, really want to get into today, is how is it affecting you? By the end of this show, I want you to be able to say, yeah, I am doing that, or no, I haven't done that, or I was doing that and I'm not any longer. And I also want to speak to the people who've been saying, you know, I got to get back into life. I've got to start back into tennis again, or going out on my kayak, or taking walks around the neighborhood. I've got to go back into my music lessons, or whatever it was you were doing that was fun, that didn't isolate you, that got you out into society and let you participate with the world. And that's the thing I hear so often. I've got to get back into fill in the blank. And then what I hear often is, I really don't want to. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to how we get to that place where I really don't want to participate anymore and what that could mean for your mental health. We'll be back in just a minute.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every time. Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you're listening to Randy McGinnis, Native American flute player. He is absolutely amazing. He's amazing as a person and amazing as a flute player. He has won tons of awards. He's played all over the world. You can listen to his music on Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, CD Baby, anywhere that music is played. You can also go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and check out all 6 of his CDs. They are incredibly beautiful and all very different and super relaxing. In fact, Randy says to people all the time, don't listen to my music and drive. And you can. I listen to his music and drive all the time. But he's saying, don't fall asleep. All right. So we are talking about isolation. And one of the things that feeling isolated does is increase your stress. And I want to start this segment off by giving you an example. This is a real life example that has created, I mean, what a lot of people are experiencing. I'm seeing a mom in therapy, and she was dealing with some old PTSD issues from a prior rape when she was younger and how that was affecting her current life. And she was really getting into the PTSD stuff and working on healing it, and COVID-19 hit, and the quarantine stuff hit, and the home distance learning for her kids. She had 2 kids. She started working from home from her, she was in a administrative type of job, and she was working from home trying to do distance learning with her 2 kids, where one was in high school and one was in middle school. So she had 2 varying programs for these 2 kids, and she was trying to juggle a very busy career from home at the same time, and she was already stressed. So we went to telehealth because she had 2 kids at home and she's trying to work, and she didn't want to come in and violate being at home on quarantine and all of that. So we went to telehealth, and this woman was doing a magnanimous effort to try and keep things together. So at the same time that she was super stressed and trying to do all this stuff with her kids and trying to work from home, she started talking about how isolated she was feeling. She had really enjoyed going to the office and interacting with all her coworkers. She'd worked at this place for a very long time. She had some really good friends there. They would go to lunch together sometimes. Occasionally, if her husband worked in a job that had varying hours, and if her husband was home, she sometimes would go out with a couple of the girls after work and have a glass of wine. And she really loved the friends she had, the interaction she had at work, how the kids were doing well at school, and her marriage was doing okay, and everything was good. She was just mostly, her life was stable enough that she was dealing with PTSD from before. Well, things just started to fall apart for her. Her whole world changed, and the thing that she struggled with the most was the stress from the isolation. So we talked about that a lot, but I didn't really have any great ways to fix that for her. I mean, you can have a little Zoom meeting with your friends and you know, have your after work glass of wine with them, but it's kind of not the same. It kind of is an interesting word there. It's not the same, okay? So it just compounded what she was already dealing with. And I have heard some version of that from a whole lot of people during this whole thing. And it's stressful for them. And I don't have any great answer like, oh, we shouldn't have done this, or there shouldn't have been that, or quarantine was shouldn't have whatever. No, it's not like that. This is a weird COVID-19 pandemic thing, and I think people are doing the best they can with a difficult situation. But from my perspective, the mental health issues that are coming up for people are multiplying, and they are gaining momentum in their lives. So let's look at her children. Her children who had been doing well in school, her high schooler was involved in sports, her middle schooler had just started, I think she was trying out for the volleyball team, there was something she was getting ready to do at school, and all of that got canceled. Her high schooler was supposed to go to junior prom, and junior prom was canceled, and her high schooler was also very involved in sports. So there was hope for being looked at for a scholarship for the sport, and that all got canceled. So her kids started to get bored, isolated, depressed, angry, fearful for their future. And so she's not only dealing with all her own emotional issues of working from home and trying to deal with the stress, but now her kids are getting very stressed. So the fighting in the house got worse, and the you need to focus on your school, and no, wake up, you've got to get on that Zoom class. And it created a lot of family discord. And I'm giving you this example because it's pretty typical of the things that I've been hearing to varying degrees, some to the point where marriages are falling apart. Kids, it's not unusual to hear kids whose grades have gone way down from distance learning and Zoom classes and that sort of thing. People that just are stressed by having to try and do everything in an electronic way. And it's affecting people. So what I want you to see is that if you're feeling stressed and you're an adult, look at how this is affecting your kids and what has changed for them in their environment. Let's take a couple other examples. Kids have been stressed wearing masks. Kids that have sensory issues or have difficulty with ADHD or are on the autism spectrum, sometimes wearing masks is akin to torture for them. Many of them that I've talked to, parents are, I know a bunch of kids that deal with this, they are trying their best to comply and not be yelled at more or be in trouble for fidgeting and taking a mask off more. And many of them are trying. And some are openly upset about it and can't do it and can't pull it off. So there's a lot of adversarial things that are happening around kids that struggle with masks. Then there's a group of kids that are really doing okay with masks. And then there's kids that are hiding in their masks. My 8-year-old granddaughter got in the car and I said, hey, take your mask off, because she was in the car and she'd had it on all day long. And she said, I like my mask. And I said, you do? And she said, yeah, nobody can see my face. And it broke my heart. I thought, you know, she's a little bit shy to begin with. And she was hiding behind her mask, and she's gotten used to it, and she actually likes hiding behind her mask, which from not just from a grandmother's standpoint, but from a therapist's standpoint, that's not good for her social development. She's a little bit shy, and so her hiding more and more and more really increases that shyness instead of allowing school to be where she learns how to be more outgoing or how to engage with people in a more social manner. The other thing I hear is from kids that I see that some of them are relieved about being isolated. This is interesting because I think some of the narrative is, oh, kids are Kids are upset that prom is canceled. Well, yeah, a whole lot of them are upset that their rites of passage like prom and graduation and sporting events and football games on Friday night, a lot of all that was canceled, and some is being reinstated. And but kids often go, well, I'm not going to get all excited about prom because they very well could cancel it at the last minute. So they're getting really kind of jaded about all that. But some kids are actually relieved. I want you to think about the kid who is stressed about prom because they don't know if anyone will ask them. They don't know if they asked somebody else if they'd say yes. They don't know if they have a social network of friends that they could go as a... Now what happens with kids is several single kids that don't have a date will go and hang together at prom, or they'll go take the group picture with two or three or four of them saying, we're just going as friends. And that's really cool. But some people, some kids who are more socially isolated, who are shyer, who don't have a big friend network, not being faced with having to decide what to do with prom or not to do with prom, are relieved. And they don't have to worry about whether they're going to be invited to the birthday party in fourth grade. They don't worry about whether they'll make the basketball team or not. They don't have to be faced with peer pressure or parental pressure or teacher pressure to go to that dance. Oh, come on, join us. It'll be fun. Which was a normal type of social pressure from kids and teachers and families because you were trying to get your child to be used to being social and to enjoy interacting with other kids. So they're relieved. They don't have to do any of that. There's kids that are thrilled. They don't have to go to piano lessons anymore because they have to take them online and they don't want to. So there is a certain amount of isolation that has become a relief to people who don't like to be out there. And they feel really justified going, oh no, you know, hey, COVID, I can't go be on the basketball team. I can't go to the birthday party because they're not going to have a birthday party this year. So I don't have to feel rejected because I didn't get invited. Those things are not necessarily good for the social and personal development of our kids or for adults. So let's look at the isolation of what happens with adults. If you feel justified in staying home and not going anywhere, not interacting, that's a relief for some people. You know, think about friends that you know or family members who dread Thanksgiving. And this year they could say, oh no, I'm not gathering with people this year because COVID. So they beg off of Thanksgiving and they're like, yeah, I don't have to go. There is an element of that. So is that a good thing? Are people relieved? Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes they're just super, super depressed about it. I know in our family, we were having family dinners like once a week. My mom did that forever. And then when my mom died, I kind of took it over. And as all this COVID stuff happened, we stopped having family dinners all the time. And when we would have family dinners, half the family would be going, oh, no, we're not going out. We're not going out. Okay. You know, we want to be supportive of that. But it changed the tenor in our family. So that kind of thing can be very disheartening. It can be depressing. And it is isolating. So it's interesting. I was talking to a friend about isolation, and we talked about it being isolating. You are just you. It is I am isolated from the world. And it's been hard on a lot of people. All right. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the marital discord that has happened from this isolation. We'll be back in a minute.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless vets.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about isolation and how hard it is on people. And let's look at it from a different perspective for a minute. I'm not just talking about isolation from quarantine and COVID-19 pandemic stuff, but isolation is a factor for many people, and it is a real precursor to feeling alone and depressed and stressed and anxious. And it's something that elderly people deal with all the time. They often feel warehoused or put out to pasture, or often they're assisted living and family might come to visit some, but they often feel very isolated and very alone. And then you add quarantine, and they wouldn't let family members into nursing homes or assisted living places, and they were trying to say hello from windows or try to get their 85-year-old mom to do FaceTime on a phone. Oh, my heavens, I try to think of just trying to help my mom work her remote control when she was, before she died. It was very hard. But it's the isolation is tragic and depressing and very difficult. So it's been hard on our elderly, and it's also been hard on marriages. And let me give you an example that's pretty typical of what I hear. I'm thinking specifically of several couples I've dealt with that both of them started working from home, and they were trying to share computer time, or they had to buy another computer, and they had to have privacy and some kind of isolation from each other in order to do their work, and then they had to juggle kids, and it was very, very stressful. One woman said to me, "I'm spending way too much time with my husband. And I love my husband, but I'm spending way, way too much time with him." And I remember smiling, and she started laughing. And I just said, "Well, you know, this will probably end someday." And she said, "Yep, hopefully we're still together by the time this ends, because he's driving me nuts." And I've heard some version of that on and off a lot, because all of a sudden someone that we had a break from 8 hours a day to go to work or more or on a regular basis, we are around 24/7. So that has been difficult for marriages, and it's been, for some, it's been good. You know, they've liked it. And so I'm seeing the whole gamut of it being okay and then it being stressful. But I got to tell you, I also realize that having a therapy practice where I see a lot of couples, I tend to see the couples that are having problems, not just the ones that are getting along superbly. So it doesn't surprise me that then you throw them together full time and it doesn't necessarily fix things. It makes it more stressful. So let me give you another type of stress that I've seen. It is not unusual to have two healthcare workers in a family. They, nurses tend to meet up with other healthcare workers, other nurses. They end up getting into a relationship. So it's not unusual to have two healthcare workers in a family. So let's take an example where they have worked through this whole pandemic, showing up for work, juggling their kids, then showing up for work because they were needed during this whole COVID pandemic, and their kids get put on distance learning where school's canceled. So now they have two little kids at home while they're trying to juggle their healthcare jobs, and they've got the little kids, and the work needs them, but one of them are trying to stay home. They're trying to be on opposite schedules so they can take care of these kids and do the distance learning and still show up for work. And then all of a sudden, their work starts to say, well, you're going to lose your job if you don't get vaccinated. And so I'm not saying pro-vax or anti-vax at all here. I'm just saying they are faced with a decision. I'm specifically thinking of a couple that I've seen, both healthcare workers, both had COVID when they were working with COVID patients. They both got it, were home, quarantined, getting well. Their kids didn't get it, but they did. And now they're being mandated to get vaccinated, and they're saying, I have natural immunity. I don't want to get vaccinated. That could harm me. And so the two healthcare workers are being faced with losing their jobs. So they're trying to figure out which one is going to go ahead and get vaccinated so that one can stay at work. And then they don't want to risk the other one, so that one's going to lose their job. So they're going to lose half of their income. And then which one gets vaccinated when they're saying they don't want to, and which one stays home, who's going to lose their profession. They are juggling this, and it is hugely, hugely stressful to decide who gets sacrificed in which way. And it's blowing them away because they have convictions. They have two children. They've got two incomes that, of course, you know, almost every family needs both their incomes these days. It's very hard to survive on one income. And they are extremely stressed over this. And it has created some animosity between the two of them as they decide how they're going to handle this. So from my perspective, there's no way I'm telling them what to decide or what not to decide, but I'm looking at communication skills. And I can tell you that people with good communication skills when things are going well do not necessarily have good communication skills when things are stressful. In fact, that's one of my kind of barometers on how a marriage is doing. I see lots of people that can say, I love you, and things are great, and we're having so much fun. And then when things go sideways, they have no vehicle to deal with the animosity or the discord. They have no conflict resolution skills. And what happens is they fall apart. So take these very stressful times with kids at home, with mandates, with vaccinations, with isolation, with depression and stress and dealing with elderly parents. Many couples are sandwiched between their elderly parents and their young children. We call that the sandwich generation. And they are massively stressed. And on top of being massively stressed, they are isolated from their family and friends and the outlets that they might have had to help them keep their sanity. Like they were on the tennis team, or they were playing couples doubles, or, you know, they were doing things that was fun. Like I've recommended couples lots of times to get into ballroom dancing. Whether you can dance or not is not the issue. It's to go do something together that's kind of fun, that takes your mind off of everything else. Because when you're learning a new skill like tennis or ballroom dancing, you can't think about your stress. You have to think about what you're doing. And my definition of a stress releaser is doing something that you can't think about anything else except for what you're doing. So couples that have had outlets to go have some fun or to get some relief from the stress have lost all of those from the isolation, and they have all the added stress besides the normal family stress that they've dealt with, and it gets beyond what they can handle. And so marriages have been stress and falling apart. I've not seen more than just one. I'm not going to quote some statistics from just my private practice, but over the last 2 years, I have seen the stress ripping families apart. And it's hard. So let's go back to the idea that isolation is part of what's happening here. They're isolated from their family and friends. They're isolated from their outlets for the stress. They're often isolated from their coworkers and what they do at their work. Then their kids are isolated and bored and can't go do things. And now as we begin to put things back into place to be able to do them, the kids and even the adults are saying, well, we'll see if this lasts. The kids get back into basketball, and all of a sudden one kid on the team tests positive for COVID, and the whole team has to quarantine. They go back to work, and they're in their office back working again, and their child tests positive at school, and now you can't go to work because you have to stay home with your COVID-positive child, and you have to quarantine for 10 days. So the stress of all of that is difficult for people. And again, I want to be very clear. I'm not talking politically. I'm not talking about whether that's a good thing to do or not medically. I'm just telling you from my perspective as someone who deals with people under stress, who suffer from anxiety and depression and marital problems and family problems with parents and children, that all of the isolation has increased the difficulties and the problems tremendously. And that increase in tremendous stress from the isolation has created its own pandemic of kids having problems and marriages having problems and people rising in depression and anxiety and all of that. And it's very, very difficult for people. In the last section of the show, I want to talk to you about the suicidal ideology that I have seen from isolation. And then by the end, I want to give you some things of what to look for and how to reach out for help. Because if you are going under from the isolation and the stress, don't sit there by yourself and just fall apart. You don't need to. There is help available. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about isolation and how it has led to some pretty severe depression in people. We'll be back in a minute.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and before we finish this last segment of the show, I want to again invite anyone out there to come today to the free COVID-19 public forum from 2 to 4 p.m. It's also going to be live streamed, and if you want to join us, it's at 777 Loma Vista Drive in Redding, which is off Pacelli Lane, and it's in a large public auditorium, and there will be room for social distancing. If you want to, we'll actually have a section for social distancing. You're welcome to wear a mask or not wear a mask. If you want to be in the social distancing section where you wear a mask throughout the auditorium, we're also going to have sanitizing stations and things to help keep people safe and to for you to be comfortable. So if you don't have to wear a mask, but if you want to, you are welcome to be in the social isolation section and stay safe. We don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. We want everyone to be able to get the information. So this is a non-political educational forum where people can learn from a whole team of medical professionals. The medical professionals that are coming, we have over 600 hours of experience with all of these doctors who actually treat COVID, who are experienced with this, and they are going to share with you their knowledge. So come, you can ask questions. We're going to have a question and answer period at the end, and we just want to help bring our community together and stop the division that has been happening everywhere. So, all right, today on Therapy in a Nutshell here, we are talking about isolation and how it has been so stressful and so difficult for many, many people during this whole COVID-19 pandemic. And it is actually an issue that is very difficult for people, even when there isn't a pandemic and there's quarantining and all the stuff that people have been dealing with. So this is an important issue for people when they feel so isolated that it really leads to incredible aloneness and depression. So I want to go to the extreme of that depression for a minute, because that's where a lot of the danger lies. Depression that goes on can result in suicidal ideation. And what we mean by suicidal ideation is that you think about suicide. It doesn't mean you actually attempt suicide, although that's the extreme of that. And successful people that actually commit suicide, that is extreme of that as well. But suicidal ideation can often be what in my head as a psychologist I think of as soft suicidal ideation. For example, it might start out with the isolation and the depression, and then you start to say things like, I just can't do this anymore. This is so hard. I can't do this anymore. I'm so alone. I hate this. Then it might be, I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't have an answer. I can't get back into the things that I used to do. They've all been canceled. I've lost a lot of my friends. My family has backed off. We're not having family dinners anymore, or I'm not going out with my friends. I don't go to my music lesson. I'm not, you know, going and listening to live music like I used to enjoy. A lot of things have stopped, and I don't want to do this anymore. But there isn't an alternative to just start doing it again. Then the soft suicidal ideation happens when you start to wish that you didn't have to do this anymore. People start thinking things like, well, maybe COVID will just take me out and I'll be freed from this. The other thing is I'll ask clients lots of time, so when you think about dying, what do you think about? And they say, well, I would never kill myself. And I say, okay, but do you ever think about just wanting to get out of here? And they go, well, yeah, I think sometimes, you know, what if my car veered off the road, or what if I went off that bridge and or what if this happened, or what if that happened? And they're kind of sort of wishing it would, and then it frightens them. Because that soft suicidal ideation of, I would never kill myself, but sometimes I think I just want out of here, I just want to exit. That kind of suicidal ideation can be very frightening. And what I want you to recognize is that is a call to consciousness. That is your psyche telling you, I am super stressed. I am depressed. I'm struggling and I'm not talking about it to anybody. A good health professional is not going to think, oh, I'm going to stick this person in the hospital because they're going to kill themselves. They'll say, look, you need to get some help. We need to maybe put you on an antidepressant because this has gone on long enough that you now have a biochemical imbalance in your body because you've been depressed for so long that your body is just accommodated to it in a way that's not healthy. And so an antidepressant can help raise your serotonin levels. That's a whole chemical thing we don't need to go into. But it can raise your serotonin levels, which can ease the depressive feelings, which can help you cope with what you're going through. The other thing is, if you get into a good therapist who's going to talk to you about these things, the therapist isn't going to freak out that you're talking about soft suicidal ideation things. They're going to say, look, let's talk about what's brought you to this point and what are you feeling. So I don't want you to be afraid to reach out to people and say, I have been feeling like I just want to exit. And from this show, what we're talking about is, how has the isolation been affecting you? What things have you lost? What things have your kids lost due to the isolation? How has your life changed from quarantines and fear of COVID and mandates and can't go anywhere and places being closed down? And maybe you own a business that has really had a hard time financially. I have a couple clients who are restaurant owners that lost a ton of income. They're super stressed with it. Now they're having trouble finding enough employees to stay open enough to try and make up for the lost income. All of this is super, super stressful for people. And they feel very alone and isolated in this stress. One reason I wanted to do this show on isolation is I want to let people know you are not alone in feeling like this. Others are feeling this way too, and others are struggling with this. And I wish there was some easy answer for you, but what I want to tell you is, instead of getting super comfortable, staying in your bunny slippers doing work and sitting on the couch watching Netflix and ordering food in from Dine and Dash or whatever they call that when they do that, and ordering your groceries to be delivered on the front porch and really enjoying isolating yourself and getting more and more depressed, it might be time for you to start reaching out and to go out and do the things you used to do, to maybe call up your hiking group and say, come on, let's all go on a hike. Let's do this. Begin to reinstitute the things you used to do and stop being comfy sitting on your couch watching Netflix getting depressed. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're getting comfy with the isolation, and at the same time they're getting comfy, they're getting more depressed and more stressed. So if you find yourself getting depressed, there's some really important things for you to do. One is to acknowledge it and to reach out to connect with other people, friends, family, people that you trust. If you're saying, I don't have any friends or family anymore and I don't have people that I really trust, that's called isolation. All right? To get into a mental health professional and start talking. If you can't go out because you're at high risk for COVID and, you know, or you're quarantined or whatever, there are telehealth options now. There are things called Talkspace, which is online type of therapy. So you can get online and sit and type in online therapy and see what comes up for your area. There are also a lot of mental health professionals that I know that do telehealth. They have, in fact, we got, it's one of the gifts of COVID is telehealth became more prevalent, and people that like have agoraphobia or that can't go out or they're disabled are able to do telehealth from home. So that option is more and more available. There are many therapists who take insurance. There are therapists that take Medicare out there. Medi-Cal partnership pays for therapy 100%. So if you're dealing with drug addiction or alcoholism, or you feel like you're on Medi-Cal or partnership and you can't afford to get therapy, that therapy is paid for 100% for you. And there are a lot of therapists that take that as an option. So don't think that you can't afford therapy or you can't get to therapy. It's out there. So reach out for some help. Also begin to brainstorm, how can you stop the isolation? What is one thing that you can do to begin to not be at home on the couch watching Netflix all the time? And what can you do to begin to end your isolation? And it doesn't mean it's going to be simple or that you're really going to want to. You have to push yourself. And some of you are going, no, I don't want to, because I hear that also. But the isolation is not good for our psyche. We are not meant to be loners. We are herd kind of animals. We're pack animals, all right? And we need to be connected to other people. It is the unusual person that's the hermit and likes to be totally alone. That's why depression and stress and anxiety has increased with a lot of the social isolation that's been happening. The other thing is, don't be afraid to talk to your kids about how do you feel about the changes that are happening. Don't assume how they feel and don't put the words in their mouth. Like you might say to your high schooler, how do you feel about prom being canceled last year? How do you feel that junior prom was a rite of passage and they canceled it? How do you feel that you were going to try out for the volleyball team and you were looking forward to that when you got to high school and you didn't get to do that? Ask the question and then be quiet. As parents, we have a tendency to fill in the blank or to tell them how to fix it. But just let them talk. I know high schoolers that were going to go and they were going to be involved in the music program, the Magical Dinner at Shasta High School, Club Cougar at Foothill, the Victorian Dinner at Enterprise High School. Those are just local high schools here in Redding, California. And a lot of their music programs were canceled because they were considered COVID spreaders. So these kids who couldn't wait till they got to high school to be in the music programs didn't get an opportunity to do that. Ask them how they feel about that. And then just listen. And maybe look for other ways that they can be involved in the things that they're missing. And maybe it's time, as hopefully COVID-19 winds down, and we don't know if it's going to or not, but as COVID-19 winds down, you can help your kids get back into the swing of things and begin to interact with their peers. And you, as an adult, need to look at your own depression and stress and your own isolation and say, what can I do to not feel so isolated? How can I push myself to begin to create some social interaction and really help myself to do this? So I'm hoping this helps you. I have a whole lot of podcasts. There's over 120 titles now. You go to Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast. It's on Spotify, iTunes, Audible, Apple, Anchor, any podcast form. Just type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and there's ones on suicidal ideation, anxiety, depression, marital issues, communication, loneliness. There's a whole bunch of them that if you peruse the titles and one jumps out at you, you probably need to listen to that one. They're free, and they're just straight-up help. Look for these symptoms. Here's some things you can do. And don't be afraid to reach out for help. Okay? So you're not alone. You might feel lonely. You might feel isolated. But there are a whole lot of people out there feeling exactly like you do. So I want you to remember that we're doing the COVID-19 public forum today, January 22nd, Saturday, from 2 to 4 p.m. The address is 777 Loma Vista Drive in Redding, California. It's also going to be live streamed on Facebook. And you can go to the website, COVID-19 Public Forum, COVID-19publicforum.com, and read more about it and connect up with the live stream. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty. And you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world. one hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.